For our scripture reading this morning, we are going to be reading from Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 22, and then in Hebrews 11, that great faith chapter. So if you would rise with me for the reading of God's most holy word. The Bible reminds us that as we come to the reading of God's word, that it is a means of grace, that the Lord makes by his Spirit the reading of his word, but especially the preaching of his word, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners, and of building us up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. So we come to his word with diligence, preparation, prayer. We are to receive it with faith and love, to lay it up in our hearts and to practice it in our lives. This is the word of the Lord. The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of his thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things, and the birds of the heaven, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God, and Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits, its breadth, 50 cubits, and its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to a cubit above and set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall die, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds according to their kinds, of the animals according to their kinds, of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind, two of every sort shall come into you to keep them alive. And take with you also every sort of food that is eaten, and store it. It shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this, and he did all that God commanded him. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his most holy word. For all the ways I've messed up this morning, you think this is my first time leading worship in the pulpit. But partly it was because I was thinking in my mind about how to introduce my good friend and brother in Christ, fellow minister of the gospel, Kurt Vetterli. Kurt is with us this morning from Basel, Switzerland. He's here with his wife, Barbara. Several years back, and I don't remember exactly the year, but many of you might remember our good friend, Simone, who lived with Kathleen and I, was on her way back to Switzerland and wasn't quite sure where to go to church. And we had had some contact with a little congregation in Rankwil, Austria. We didn't know the pastor, but Kathleen and I made a trip to Switzerland to meet Simone's family and to visit this church. And I met the pastor there, and he asked me to preach the following Lord's Day, which I was able to do. And then he asked me to come back in my next trip when I was flying down to Ethiopia to stop off in Switzerland and to preach and teach. And it was at that time that he introduced me to Pastor Vetterli. Three small congregations in Switzerland, or two congregations in Switzerland and three congregations in Austria. Basel, Switzerland, Winterthur, Switzerland, Rankwil, Austria, Neuhofen, Austria, and Vienna, Austria. Five little congregations that had banded together to serve the Lord. Well, through the years, our relationship developed to such a place that besides my continually being able to go and to work with the church, I had the opportunity to introduce the Orthodox Presbyterian Church to them, and we are now in ecclesiastical fellowship with this denomination, working and serving the Lord as we seek to hit and to bring the gospel to help them bring the gospel to Central Europe, Southern Europe, German-speaking Europe. Basel was one of the blessed towns of the Reformation. Calvin lived there for a while under the reformer Ocolampadius. God changed a city and brought a people to himself. But today it is a very dark city. And Kurt's probably the only faithful reform Bible preaching minister in that town. We've taken the opportunity to preach in parks. We have the opportunity to seek and to reach out to that place with the gospel once again, that they might hear that good news that has played so prominent a part in their history, but seems to be completely neglected. And this man perseveres, and it is a real blessing. Now, when I go there to preach, I preach in English, and he translates it into Swiss German. Regrettably, he can't preach in Swiss German this morning, and I can't interpret him into English, but he is going to bring us God's word, and so we pray every blessing upon him.
Thank you. Good morning, brothers and sisters. It is a great joy and privilege to be here together with you and worship together with you, and I bring you greetings from our small congregation in Basel and also from the other congregations in the other cities Tony just mentioned. We are very thankful to know that you are praying for us since a good amount of time, and yeah, I just want to thank you for thinking of us and praying for us, and let me assure you that we do the same for you. For a time, I used to listen to a Christian podcast where the theologian Michael Horton was involved, and this Michael Horton had a sentence he repeated over and over again. He said, as Christians, we have to know what we believe and why we believe it. And this phrase stuck with me. We have to know what we believe and why we believe it. And I think Horton is completely right in saying that, but I would also suggest that we add something to that. We should say, or we should think, it is also very important to know what the character of that biblical faith is and how it works for being able to believe in the way it pleases God. because we need faith to please God. As it is said, without faith it is impossible to please Him. This is said by the author of the letter of Hebrews, and even this author undertakes to explain in a very long chapter what the nature of that faith is with which one pleases God. He explains it by demonstrating how various men and women were living by this kind of faith, and one of these men was Noah. He's only mentioned shortly, and yet we are able to learn a lot from him about even this faith that pleases God. So let us read again a part of this 11th chapter of Hebrews. I will read from chapter 11, the verses 6 and 7. Please listen carefully to the word of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to the faith. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for your precious word. And we want to pray that you will open our ears and our hearts, that we can listen as a disciple listens, that we can understand your word, the teaching of your word, as you want us to. Please open my lips that they proclaim your glory. Amen. So, I have 6 points. The first is, faith listens to the word of God. I think we can say that without exaggeration, that the most important thing with Noah's faith is that it is focused on God himself. It is not so that Noah believes just something, and that just very strongly. As people sometimes wrongly say, the main thing is that you believe just something, whatever it is. No, the main thing is that one believes the word of the living God. True faith is focused on God himself. It hears and it says and acts accordingly. It hears what God says and acts accordingly. The motivation for Noah to build his life's work, this ark, didn't come out of his own thoughts or imagination. Noah didn't study meteorology and observe the climate change and then come to the conclusion, I guess it would be reasonable to build a big ship. It may be that there is a flood coming its way. No. Noah was warned by God, and he got his order to do this. He listened to the word of God, the word of God with which he already lived. His faith consisted therein that he knew God, and that he knew that what God says is absolutely trustworthy. Noah took seriously what the author of Hebrews also says about the faith. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Noah's faith is therefore not just a function of his mind. It is far more a waiting and a listening to the speaking of his God, paired with the readiness to obey. Secondly, faith sees what isn't there yet. Faith sees what isn't there yet. Noah's faith has also the wonderful character that it lets one see what is not visible by the natural eye. At the beginning of the chapter, we can read of this character of the faith. There it is written in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Because Noah believed the word of God, the things that God foretold him were already close to the touch for him. He had, as it were, a telescope by which he could see into the future. The Lord told him, there will be a big flood. And with his eyes of faith, Noah saw this flood already. Not only that, he said, oh, it may well be that God told the truth. For safety's sake, I will build me a ship. You never know. No. With such an uncertain attitude, he would never have stood for 100 years the mockery of the people and built 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. Did you ever work on a project about which everybody said, that's not working, that makes no sense, you better quit? Did you ever do that? 1 year, maybe 2 years or 5 years, no success. You would soon stop it, wouldn't you? But if you had the certainty that God has given you the order, and if you would believe that God is absolutely trustworthy in what he promises, then you could certainly keep going, even if the whole world laughs at you. Noah's Ark is such a project. Noah believes the word of God, and therefore he sees what all the mockers around him don't see. The flood will come, and the ark will save me and my family and everyone who would enter with us. I can well imagine that sometimes Noah's courage would have left him when day by day he heard the voices and the laughter of those who mocked him. Noah, you're working on this weird ship for 20 years now. Where will you get the water to make it swim, huh? Noah, didn't you see? The rain stopped again. Noah, where is this funny God that makes such a fool out of you? Did you see him anywhere yet? Did he come by to see how you get on with the work? I'm sure that there were moments when those people were able to unsettle old Noah. What did he have to do in these moments? Yes, he would have to take up his telescope of faith and see through it, so he could again see what isn't there yet. And the voice of God became louder than all the silly words and the laughter of these mockers around him, so he could again preach to himself. That is what we sometimes have to do. Don't we preach to ourselves and say, the inerrant word of God will come true. The flood will come and the ark will save me. Thirdly, faith causes fear of God. Faith causes fear of God. Because Noah trusted the word of God and saw with his eyes of faith what is to come, he was filled with fear of God. Noah's faith caused fear. But this fear is not an indefinite fear that goes hand in hand with despair? No, it is the good fear of the terror of the living God, who has said, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth." God has revealed himself to Noah as the holy and righteous God who cannot tolerate sin. He will not stand the rebellion against himself and all the evil that men do to each other any longer. For sure, Noah knew about Adam and Eve and how the Lord told them in the beginning, "If you are disobedient and trespass my commandment, you will surely die." Now, the measure of disobedience of man is filled up. Noah believes this word of God, and therefore he fears God. And this fear of God determines the direction of his thinking and acting. He wants to please God so he does not come under his judgment. Noah knows when God will hold his righteous standard on him, on me, I will not escape either. And therefore he listens to the word of God that not only announces judgment, but at the same time shows the way out. Fourthly, faith becomes active. Faith becomes active. Now the text also tells us about Noah's godly fear that moved him. Noah's fear of God moved him. All what Noah heard from God and what he believed made him become active. This is another important feature of the true faith. It acts according to what one believes. It wouldn't make any sense if somebody like Noah would say, "Yeah, this seems to be very important, this message. I believe it." But he would not act accordingly. Some years ago, I think it's more than 10 years ago, my family and I were awakened in the middle of the night. There is a farm next to our house, and this farm in this immediate neighborhood was standing in flames. The fire was huge and several buildings were involved. So also that kind of a barn in which our car was standing. I saw it. I saw only the roof of this barn standing in flames, where my car was standing beneath this roof. And I thought, there goes our car. But actually, the car was still intact. The flames were just above and around the car. And soon the farmer called me and said, "You can get your car out of the barn if you hurry up. The firefighters will help you get it out." And I first thought, "You're kidding me." But it was true. After a few seconds of unbelief, I believed him, and I ran and I drove my car out of the burning barn, and it was safe. My faith in what the farmer told me let me become active, act accordingly. If I had told my neighbor, "I believe you," and went back to bed, I would have been silly, wouldn't I? My car would have been devoured by the flames. And the farmer and the firefighters would have thought, or rightly said, "He doesn't really believe it." True faith is not just a hold it for true, but it's a being moved and acting accordingly. And so did Noah believe when God told him, I will drown this world in a flood, but I will show you a way you can save yourself and your family. Build a big ship. Noah trusted in God's word and started to build. His fear of God moved him to act, and so he and his loved ones were saved. This is true faith. True faith doesn't only listen to the word of God and say, it is certainly true what God has said. It is certainly true what we read in the Bible. No, true faith is afraid of not obeying God and acts according to his orders. Fifthly, faith condemns the world. Faith condemns the world. Noah's faith had another effect. It says, by his faith, he condemned the world. That means Noah's faith made a division between God and the unrighteous humanity. Noah didn't only listen to God and obey him. At the same time, he refused to listen to the voices of the world and to obey them. It is actually not possible to fear God and man at the same time, isn't it? The fear of God drives out the fear of man. Why could Noah stand the mockery of his fellow man for 100 years and keep on building his ark, although no flood was to be seen? Because he was convinced that God will fulfill his word. The terror of the judgment of God was much bigger and stronger than the rejection of the unbelieving people. Noah knew, God will save me. These men cannot help themselves and cannot help me and my family when the flood is coming. By his faith, he had made a decision. I will trust in the word of God exclusively. I will trust in the word of God exclusively. He opened his ears for the word and the promises of God, and he closed them for the mockery and the comments of the people. And because of that, he also turned away from the ways of the world, from their unrighteousness and their false wisdom, and devoted his whole life to the building of the ark. Sixthly and lastly, faith justifies. Faith justifies. In this way, he became, as it says, an heir of righteousness, of the righteousness of faith. The whole Bible teaches us that we are justified by faith. And as Noah shows us here, through that faith that listens to God, to God's word, and enters upon it. The story of the flood and Noah's construction of the ark is given us as a type. Jesus and the apostles have unceasingly preached that there will be another judgment. And this will take place when the Lord Jesus will come back to this earth. Like in those days when God gave all men time to repent, while Noah built the ark and preached, so he gives time today while the church preaches in Christ's name. Turn away from your ungodly ways and let yourselves be saved. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. He is the saving ark. It is unfortunately so that most of the people around us, like in Noah's time, may not believe and not repent, not turn around and not believe in the name of Christ. They mock and ridicule and go their own ways. Or they say, certainly we will have not any judgment, and this Jesus will not come back either. 2,000 years passed since he was here and nothing happened. But we endure the ridicule and mockery and the lack of understanding, because by faith we see what isn't there yet. We believe what our Lord Jesus said about this in Matthew 24, verse 37 and following. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Therefore, we go on working for the great commission of our God and proclaim what he has told us to. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, you will be saved from the coming judgment. In the same way as Noah and his family were carried above the waves of the flood, so will you escape the judgment, just carried over it. As Jesus promised, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me, has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Believe this, brothers and sisters. Believe this. Believe like Noah, and you will be saved like Noah. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious and wonderful work of salvation. We praise you that you promised if we believe in you, who are the saving ark that carries us above the flood of judgment, we will be saved when we trust in you. Thank you, Father, that we can believe this and be saved. Amen.
Amen.